Blog Talk Radio.
Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Earlier this week, Claire Tippins shared a princess nickname generator, 3 pictures of her dog wearing a tutu, and 2 online quizzes, including, what candy is your dream castle made of? Claire, your sharing has tipped the sugar scale and turned into oversharing. But have no fear, princess. Geico has something worth sharing with your internet kingdom, like how you could save hundreds on your car insurance just by visiting geico.com. No magic wand required. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Blog Talk Radio.
So with China setting up this physical exchange and the West using paper, how does this affect the gold price?
This is a live show.
Well, what it tells me is that
I want you to understand,
the price of gold,
they are messing with the intro of the show again.
We're
so
very close to, in my opinion, COMEX blowing up.
Right.
You've got enough standing
again,
right now.
This is the live show, and they're messing with the intro.
To take up what COMEX has to deliver. And I might add that they've only about 100,000 ounces so far have been there's still 100,000 that's standing for delivery that have not gotten their receipt. Why would that possibly be? All these longs have to fund their account 100% by I think November 29th and November 30th. They have to fund their account 100% in order to take the gold in. Now the shorts who must deliver or contracted to deliver, if they've got gold to deliver, they actually have to pay storage charges until they notify of delivery. So why would they wait 2 weeks? We've only gotten half of the 200,000 ounces at this point. Why would they wait? Why would they wait to the very last day? That means they've got to pay storage charges up until it.
This is what we have to go through to get the show up. Again, black man and black woman, as always, we open up in the name of our Lord and Savior, Master Farad Muhammad, the almighty, true and living God, Allah, who has come to us in person, and we forever give praise and thanks to our Redeemer, our God, and our Savior for coming in our midst and raising up and leaving in our midst a divine reminder and teacher in the personage of the last and most surely the greatest of the apostles, prophets, and messengers of God to ever live. We speak about none other than our leader, teacher, and guide for these final days of judgment, the most holy and humble, Elijah Muhammad. And we greet all of our listening and viewing audiences with the greetings of peace, love, and paradise. In the original language of Arabic, which means peace be unto you, we say to you all in both their names of love, As-salamu alaykum. For those of you who may wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we'd like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We'd like to thank the thousands of you who listen live from around the globe and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites, be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com/Hiram1555, Facebook.com/Hiram1555, BlogTalkRadio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly TrumpetOfTruth.wordpress.com, and also formerly SalamJournal.com and SalamJournal.org, which is now the Hiram1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. Again, my beloved family, I send to you all, As-salamu alaykum, and welcome again to the most powerful show for truth anywhere on the face of planet Earth. You're now tuned into the voice of an entire nation. This is the Star and Crescent Report, and our show today is titled Crash, Collapse, and War. The gates of hell have been opened. Now, as you can see at the beginning of the show, two times in the last week that our intro has been switched to news clips so that you can think that this is a rerun, so that you can go about your business and just say, oh, this is an old show, I'll catch it again. This is what they do. Tricks from the devil. But they will not stop the show. As a matter of fact, all they're doing is heaping up destruction upon themselves by trying to interfere with the dissemination of God's word, way, and truth. Again, this goes right to the heart of the matter of the show. Crash, collapse, and war. The gates of hell have been opened. The devil has come to a situation now where desperation has set in. And he knows that his time is up. And I was listening to some pundits discuss these things last night. And you should have saw the worry in their eyes and heard the fear in their talk and in their conversations. And each one was in disagreement with the other one. Not so long ago, they were all in agreement with one another. They were all confident, they were all happy, and they were all prospering and being prosperous of the ignorance of the masses. And now the time has arrived where they shall reap what they have sown for decades, for centuries, and they can't see it. They are running. They're trying to position themselves, or I say pre-position themselves, I should say, to try to transition to the new. And they want to gain as much wealth as they can right now so that they believe that they can position themselves to be in a great position in the next. But this is not how things work. Again, black men and black women, if this is the case, if the rich were able and allowed to position themselves with wealth and money and position and favoritism and privilege to store up wealth and keep this wealth, they would also be permitted to have this position in the new. And then this would nullify anything for a change. For you to have a change, as Elijah Muhammad, the messenger of God, teaches us, God goes to the very root of the matter. And the tail will no longer be the tail, and the head will no longer be the head. In this change, the tail becomes the head, and the head becomes the tail. And we all know, just look in America, look around the world, even look in the continent of Africa. The blacks are the tail even there. So this tremendous change, this great change that is underway, is to switch the positions and place this black man universally back on top of civilization where he belongs. What we're staring at is an implosion of American power. I cannot say this enough for you, because you have to understand this to understand the time in which we are. Because the whole world of the white man is crashing and burning, but God removes, it's almost like a construction worker or a demolition man. When they're getting ready to level a building, when they're getting ready to take down a building, they put dynamite at the strongest pillar of that building. And when they fail the building, this is what they say, fail it, meaning fall, making it fall. When they fail the building and they call for it to go, the dynamite at the strongest pillar explodes and takes the entire building down. God is ushering in a new world. These principles are the same. He has put economic and political and social dynamite at the core of America, which is the strongest and the most dominant pillar of Anglo power worldwide. And now the whole system has gone terminal, and he's pulling it. And you're seeing American power, American influence, American domination, her ingenuity, her scientific prowess, all pancaking. And this is why you hear the white people say it in these layman terms. What we're seeing is a transition of wealth from west to east. You hear them say that. What they're telling you, that the old world, the old infrastructures, the old organizations, the old pillars which had enshrined white privilege,
to the top are all not only being challenged, but being uprooted and removed from the face of planet Earth. Because the unnatural man's time is up. And his unnatural way of governance, thought, and civilization must be uprooted and removed to the very core. This is the time. This is what we're talking about, black man and black woman. And if you don't understand the time, you will be lost in time. A lot of us don't understand this, especially the Muslims. But I'm seeing a lot of them are starting to come over and understand what I've been saying for years on the show. I had a lot of resistance to what I was saying, but a lot of them are starting to grow into this stuff. As the Methodist says, I'm not going to argue with you over these things. You may not believe them now, but time will bring about a situation that will force you to believe. So I met with a lot of opposition, and now all you can see is people talking about that, about the time. All you can see is people talking about the true meaning of separation. But it has to start, and now it has caught fire, and people are understanding now that we're in a point now where it's going to take a God who has all power and all wisdom to remove you from this position here, because the devil will not willingly let you go. The prophets had predicted it, and we see it now, even in the midst of economic turmoil, collapse, war, and chaos in America. She still is yet brutalizing and oppressing you, and will refuse to give you human rights, much less civil rights. The Bible teaches us that, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says this, that as America falls, she will start trying to take her anger out on you, because she's mad at God and she wants to wage war with God, but she knows that she can't win against God, so she will move against God elect so that she can force them to turn against God in the day of his coming and presence to remove you out of her grip. But Muhammad says that God will still break this devil back and will free you regardless to what. Some of us, we can't process that. But you will. Time will force you to see this. And again, I've asked everyone, if what I'm saying is not in line with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teaching, if what I'm saying is not in line with the Quran, if what I'm saying is not in line with biblical prophecy and scriptures, you are welcome to call in and prove it, 347-989-0855. But today we're in the midst of something that is forcing the people to take a second look at what is being said. The world that you have known, black man and black woman, you will soon know no more. We're in the midst of change. I was looking at an article the other day, and I saved this article just for you, because it reminded me, I believe, of Carter G. Woodson. When he talked about if there's no back door to the slave master's house, the Negro will go and try to cut the black back door. You know, that's the way our mentality is. We have been made like this by our oppressors. We are Americans. If you are Americans, you would share equally in the prosperity of America. If you are American, you would share equally in the protection of rights of Americans. You share equally in nothing of America. In fact, you are the burden bearers of America. You catch all the hell, and they get all of the heaven. But now the gates have been opened. And I want you to pay close attention to what I'm trying to talk to you about. This reference to Carter G. Woodson. We have been piping so long to you to show you that a change is going on. We have been piping to you to show you that the white man's economic and monetary system, especially America, is imploding right before your eyes, and that you better prepare. Get you some of the basics, necessities that you're going to need, everything from peroxide to alcohol to food to water to butt wipes to toilet tissue, to Ziploc bags, to kitty litter. You're going to need these things because the time is going to grow so extreme, so heavily, that if you ignore the warnings that are coming out to you today, you will suffer the consequences. But Mr. Carter G. Woodson gave us a thought about the Negro mind. Because you are a Negro, because you have been fashioned by your former slave master. And those who reject the thoughts of the former slave masters are no longer his clay to make his vessels out of. We open ourselves up to be the vessels of God. You understand? But the Negro loves his white master so much that regardless to all of these things that are being piped and trumpeted to him night and day, he still believes that he's an American. He still believes in America. He still believes in the dream of America. He still believes in the lies and the deceptions of America. He still believes that America will endure. And even though he doesn't say it, he believes that America will overcome prophecy, the prophets in God. When God tells us that he would make Babylon fall to her knees, he would throw this whore out of her throne. She would no longer be called tender and delicate. When we tell you of these things, you let it go in one ear and out the other because it's against your oppressor. It's against your slave master. And you are in love with your white master. And even if the white master comes out and tells you, boy, I can't feed you no more, you go right back and say, I'm going to his college and I'm going to get a job and I'm going to keep boss on his feet. I'm not going to invest my thought, my brain power, and my sacrifices in a unified front with my brothers and sisters to build something for self. You're still looking at your white oppressor. I want you to listen to this article, the headline also. This article was written 2 days ago. And they have this right here is the headline. White people have the least confidence in the American dream. And it says, Americans say the American dream is suffering and that our laziness and low morals may be partially to blame. Searches for American dream have fallen 24% since Google began tracking this data in 2004. And when you type American dream into Google, 3 of the 4 top autofills are dead, alive, and leaving America, according to the analysis of Google Trends data released Friday in a report by brokerage firm Convergex. Furthermore, 3 in 4 Americans now say that the American dream, broadly, the notion that through hard work and determination, every American can have a successful life, is suffering. According to the 7th Annual American Value Survey unveiled last year at the Aspen Ideals Festival. Listen to this good. I want you to pay close attention. I know it may seem a little monotonous, but give me time. What's more, 69% say the obstacles to realizing the dream are more severe today than ever. And note that a decline in work ethic is the primary hurdle to dream achieved. The poll of more than 2,300 Americans was conducted by Burson, Marstella, and market research firm Penn Schoen Berlin. Now, in this, it says that black Americans believe more in the American dream than white people. Isn't that something? Well, well, brothers and sisters, let's go to the Webster's Dictionary for a minute. The word dream means a series of thoughts, visions, or feelings that happen during sleep. An idea or vision that is created in your imagination and that is not real. Something that you have wanted very much to do, be, or sleep. And then it's followed up by this. An idea or vision that is created in your imagination that is not real. That's one of the main points. It's thoughts or visions made up in your imagination that is not real. So the definition is telling us by nature, by the very founding of the American dream, that it is a set of ideas or visions that was created by your oppressor through his imagination, and it is not real. So you've been following something that has not existed since you've been brought here in chains. You understand? I hope you're following me good. We got a whole bunch of clips to play, but we have to lay the base first. Give me a little time with you. Now, the word sleep, because it says these things happen during sleep, these dreams. It says sleep, the natural state of rest during which your eyes are closed and you become unconscious. Unconscious. Brothers and sisters, are you listening to me here? Because we have to understand these things that we may not fall victims to the trick. And that's why I'm always going into definitions. You know, it brings me back to Our Savior Has Arrived when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was teaching in there. And I think it's the knowledge of God himself. I think that's the chapter. And he said, one guy said, Elijah Muhammad, why do you always go into definition? And Muhammad says, that because if I didn't, you would never understand. So Muhammad's job was to make the truth so plain that not even a fool should err. And we have. So what we're trying to do is break this down for you so that you no longer err in the way of your oppressor. So brothers and sisters, I need you to walk with me just a little bit longer. I need you to listen, pretty much. The word unconscious means not awake, especially because of an injury, drug, etc. Not aware of something, not intended or planned, not done consciously, not aware of things, not knowing or perceiving. So now we know that the American dream is a pipe dream, an illusion that was placed in your head after the devil knocked you unconscious to the reality of who you are and who they are. Yet you are still holding on to this pipe dream and you're still trumpeting it out of your sweet horn. But you can't make it a reality because it's nothing. It is air. It's nothing that you can hold tangibly. And even the people who gave you the dream, according to this study, has given up on their dream. Remember, it says, white people, it specifically says this in bold letters, white people have the least confidence in the American dream. Why? Because they know that it is not tangible. It is not something that can be obtained. Don't get mad at your little brother. Just pay attention to this truth. Because we're in a time now that you must know the truth. You can no longer just, because you don't like it, just push it to the side, because time will not allow you to do this now. Because we're in a stage now of where God must. Remember all those musts that we read in those books? He must make his word be stand. He must bring about change. He must bring our oppressors to their knees. He must free us at all costs. He must destroy their power, their wealth, their culture, their system, and he must set us back on top of civilization. These are a lot of contractually binding things that God promised. And he can do everything but fail and lie. You understand? So now what stage are we in? If we're seeing what Elijah Muhammad told us to expect in the time of an exodus, if we're seeing what Elijah Muhammad taught us to expect in the time of the breaking of American power and the throwing of the white man down to his knees, then that's the time that we're in. So don't take a rocket scientist to understand this. I want you to pay attention. They know something, okay? They know something is going on. What I'm going to do, these clips are, some of the clips are long. I'm going to try to play two of the longer clips first, and then we'll go into Mr. Kirby. I got some clips from Rob Kirby, and I got some from Michael Pinto, and also got some from another guy, I forget his name, because I was listening to all the news that was going on. These devils are scared as hell at what they see coming to them and their world. But no plan, no plot that they can come up with will offset the judgment, because the judgment has been set. You understand? And if it's set, it's in motion. And they don't have the wisdom, the knowledge, nor the understanding to force their thoughts anymore, to force their will in opposition against the will of God, who is now present among us, bringing about change. Crash, collapse, and war. The gates of hell have been opened. Listen to this right here.
I'm a little excited because the Dow Jones Industrial Average is down roughly 550 points as of the recording of this video. It's been yo-yoing around. Jamie Dimon of J.P. Morgan Chase says that it might just be a market adjustment. You know, like the same market adjustment in 2008 that literally destroyed trillions and trillions of dollars, sent millions of people into bankruptcy, and literally destroyed the American dream overnight, only so Americans, by the barrel of a gun, because again, there was no vote, they even said there might be martial law at the time. Again, this is no bullshit, folks.
The only way they can pass this bill is by creating and sustaining a panic atmosphere. That atmosphere is not justified. Many of us were told in private conversations that if we voted against this bill on Monday, that the sky would fall, the market would drop 2,000 or 3,000 points the first day, another couple thousand the second day, and a few members were even told that there would be martial law in America if we voted no.
Ushered in multi-trillion dollar bailouts to the same banks and the same elitists like Jamie Dimon calling for a market adjustment that only made him richer, subsequently passed, and as a result of the engineered financial collapse in the first place. You know, Jamie Dimon became a billionaire just a few years after the subsequent multi-trillion dollar bailouts, thanks to you. And now he says it's a market adjustment. And my nipples, folks, are on edge, because I'm a little excited, because the Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 550 points. And you know what? It could get a lot more worse. Again, you know, we're pretty prescient with our timing. Did I not say in the video prior to this one that a systemic event was coming, that it could be a week from now, a couple weeks from now, a month from now, a year from now? It could be within a couple of days. Well, it kind of looks like the stock market is reaching or getting near that crescendo. And I don't even think we've seen it yet. We could see 1,000 point, 2,000, 5,000 point, 10,000 point drop. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, folks, could collapse. The stock market could collapse 80% from its recent highs. And that one, it surprised me. Because again, it's all built on a foundation of sand. It's all based on this illusion. Everything that we see going on in the Middle East, for example, this war against the East, countries like Russia and emerging China and the New World Reserve Currency in the name of the yuan, otherwise known as the renminbi, is a war, an economic geopolitical war taking place in this part of the world. Because of course, Russia and China are going to start pricing oil, the petrodollar, not in U.S. dollars anymore. They're going to price it in their own currencies, and it could potentially collapse the United States of America. So again, it's not a coincidence that oil is collapsing, folks, just like we talked about this a few years ago. It's not a coincidence that oil is trading under 30 bucks a barrel, roughly 27 bucks a barrel. It would not surprise me if oil went to 15 bucks a barrel or 10 bucks a barrel from here. Because again, this is a deflationary debt collapse. It is a death spiral, and it's engineered. And America is at war. Whether or not most Americans understand that to be the truth or not is the truth. Again, Russia and China really have all the cards right now. They're the power players. They're the brokers of this new establishment, this new order that is coming to the world. And it all ties into oil. Again, there's a reason there's all this instability in the Middle East. There's a reason for the creation and fomentation of ISIS, the Israeli Secret Intelligence Service, which later became ISIL and then soon became Islamic State, because again, they've got a pin two diametrically opposed ideas and viewpoints against each other, just like they did during World War II. You know, Americans versus the Japs, or Americans versus the Nazis. Just like now, it's Americans versus IS. Anything and everything that's Islamic. It migrated from a sectarian issue and sectarian violence in the name of the Israeli Secret Intelligence Service, or ISIS, then to ISIL, and now it's just one big smorgasbord called the Islamic State, created by the CIA, created by U.S. intelligence. I mean, the video production value on the IS videos are actually unbelievable. I mean, I review them all the time. I'm like, wow, these guys are working with like multi-million-dollar budgets. Did you see the special effects on that? It's amazing. And we're in the business here at AMTV of video production, of putting out the truth on a shoestring budget. So when I see production value from ISIS better than Hollywood studios, it's almost like Tom Cruise is starring in the movie as Jihadi John. It only provides indication that what we're getting isn't necessarily what we're seeing. Again, an illusion.
You see how it is? America has become desperate, and she knows that this is the time of God's presence, not of the time of his coming, but of the time of his presence. He's here. And she is going head on trying to make you believe against your salvation, which is Islam, as taught to us by the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. In the midst of her collapse, instead of her willingly repenting, she's trying to force you to distance yourself from Islam. She's trying to force you to distance yourself from anything that's associated with Muslim or Islam or Allah. So the TVs, the radio, and the internet is out here constantly being this Islamic extremism, ISIL and ISIS and terrorists, this Islamic terrorists and all of everything related to Islam, she demonizes. She didn't do it 20 years ago. She's doing it today. Why? Calculate on the time of what Elijah Muhammad tells us and what we should expect in the day of God's presence, that the Satan would come from the left and from the right, from before them and from behind them, meaning a cross. He would cross you up in your thinking. He would cross you up in your heart and make you make the wrong steps if you are not firmly rooted in the God who don't make mistakes. In the midst of collapse, the deception traps have been laid for you. The devil knows. Did you hear what the man said from AMTV? These people are supposed to be in caves and in the desert, and they have production budgets big as Hollywood movie budgets. Hundreds of Toyota pickup trucks from America. Thousands of weapons, all of them American weapons. America, it's caught on video, airdropping weapons and bombs, night vision goggles, and tow missiles to these people. And yet she comes back here and say, Islamic extremism. But we have to understand, and it's hard for the average man to comprehend the tricks of the devil. The messenger says that we are living in a time when the devil will be playing his tricks on you 100%, not 50%, not 75%, 100%. Why? Because time demands it. The devil does not want to just walk away from his throne. He wants to fight for his kingdom. And the best way he sees it is to fight God through God's people, trick them, fool them, deceive them into believing that I still have the power and no one can overcome. in the midst of the collapse. This is what he does. And this is why we have the title of the show, Crash, Collapse, and War. The gates of hell have been opened. Because this devil is desperate. Remember that Bible says that Satan would come down after he was loosed from the pit. He would come down having great wrath, for he knows he has but a short time. Well, that short time is up. And that's why everything that he touches, be it politically, geopolitically, mechanically, or economically, quickly goes to hell. Everything, his markets, his currency, everything. There's never been a time like the time that you are witnessing today. And he knows it. Let's go to the next clip, okay? Because I'm going to try to get a lot of clips in today.
So it's absolutely ludicrous. It's Monday, January 18th, 2016, MLK Day. Martin Luther King, maybe some of you got today off. You know, I really enjoyed the last video we did talking about the matrix, this grid, the surveillance state, this illusion that we all live, because things are about to get really tough. Today's video, I'm going to talk about how systemic risk is present once again, and all this is unfolding in our financial markets right now. And anybody underestimating it, honestly, is a fool. Is the same type of person that couldn't see the wheels coming off in 2008 and 2009 pre that crisis. They said everything was going to be okay.
But am I supposed to just say, hey, great job? Or am I? Okay, Peter writes, should I be worried about Bear Stearns in terms of liquidity and get my money out of there? No, no, no. Bear Stearns is fine. Do not take your money out. This is real. Okay, if there's one takeaway other than a plus 400 or something, Bear Stearns is not in trouble. I mean, if anything, they're more likely to be taken over. Don't move your money from Bear. That's just being silly. Don't be silly. Bear money's back after the break.
You know, no way the big banks were going to fail. They're fine. No way J.P. Morgan Chase or Goldman Sachs or Wells Fargo or Bankrupt of America could ever go bankrupt, right? These are the largest financial institutions in the world. They're totally solvent until they're not, until they go to zero. And it's exactly what's present, the systemic black swan type of event in our system today. Because, and as a direct consequence of the criminal Federal Private Reserve. Something that Bernie Sanders, although he sometimes talks about this stuff, people like Rand Paul have talked about this excessively, but now he's not even a realistic candidate in the GOP race, which is honestly a shame. We should all be talking more about that. We should all be talking more about these bankrupt companies like Bankrupt of America and J.P. Morgan Chase that are only around today because of your multi-trillion dollar bailouts. Thank you very much, they say. Thank you very much, these elites say. You know, the top 1% that in aggregate own 99 freaking percent of the wealth. There's literally like 70 dudes or something like that in that ballpark that own 95% of the world's wealth, thanks to you. Even people like Warren Buffett were glad to accept the bailouts to his bankrupt financial companies that he owned at the time in the billions and billions of dollars, whether or not it was Goldman Sachs or American Express. Did the Oracle of Omaha, you know, the guy that likes to play his little banjo or ukulele or whatever it is, did he mention that that was wrong at the time? Did he take a stand, you know, Mr. Billionaire, one of the pickup truck Americans? Did he take a stand, say, hey, you know what? I'm not going to take the bailouts because it's wrong. He did none of that. And the reason is he's just as bankrupt, he's just as criminal as these other individuals. He stands for nothing. He's a master PR stuntman. And at the end of the day, the only thing he cared about was his own bailouts, to bail out the companies that he owned in the billions and billions of dollars, which resulted in multi-trillion dollar bailouts to the largest banks. Because he's a butt buddy with Barack Obama. He's working on the friggin' inside. You see, this is the problem with America today, because history, although it doesn't always repeat, is rhyming right now. Because systemic risk is once again present. And it's not just in the banking sector, because the banking sector does have a giant target on its forehead once again. We're seeing this in the commodity sector. We're seeing it with companies. The Wall Street traders in New York are speculating large commodity companies like Glencore could eventually and materially in the not too distant future declare bankruptcy and go bankrupt and collapse on Wall Street, much like Lehman Brothers and Bear Stearns did prior to the 2008 and 2009 saga.
So what we're seeing is the big banks that continue to get bailouts are now imploding even with bailouts. Things are starting to metastasize in such a way that even the quantitative easing, which is the money printing, is not slowing down the process. He said something in the last two clips about the way the system is, and he called it an illusion. And according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, the word illusion means something that looks or seems different from what it is, something that is false or not real, but that seems to be true or real. And listen to this, an incorrect idea, an idea that is based on something that is not true. This goes back to all that you see before us, the fall of the white man's world and why it's falling. Do you know how the white man's world came about? Do you know what caused Yaqub's fall? Yaqub, which was a black scientist, and he's the father of the white nation, the white race. Excuse me, the white race, not nation. Most people say it was the making of the white man that caused his fall. That is wrong. That is incorrect. It was not the making of the white man which caused Yaqub's fall. It was him having an idea that was incorrect or contrary to that of the natural order of things. And that's what caused his fall from the circle of righteousness. So listen, let's go back to this definition. And they're telling you about this word. They're giving it to you in definition. It says, an incorrect idea, an idea that is based on something that is not true. And that's what this world is about. Walt Disney World, right? They always, in movies, they use what they call special effects to make something that is not real look as though it is real. This is the entire makeup of this world. Isn't that the power of Satan? To trick you, how can you trick a person? To make something appear as though it is not, and vice versa. Right? Talk back to me. Talk back to me. This is your little brother here on the most powerful show for truth anywhere on the face of planet Earth. Black man and black woman, you're tuned into the Star and Crescent Report. Thank you for tuning in. Let us go a little further, and let us play a few more clips.
So it's absolutely ludicrous to see this coming once again. I mean, it has only been, what, 7, 8 years roughly since the last collapse. And we are already experiencing another potential systemic event once again. Remember, the Federal Reserve's balance sheet has only ballooned in the last few years. It's gone from pretty much zero to $4.5 trillion in the last couple of years. Quantitative easing one, Operation Twist, 2, 3, potentially 4 coming our way in the not-too-distant future. Interest rates have only been risen a measly one time, 25 basis points. It's essentially still at zero. Yet the entire economy and Wall Street is collapsing before our very eyes. Again, I think this will result in future cuts to the benchmark interest rates, probably to mimic what we're seeing in Europe and across the pond with negative interest rates, soon potentially here in the United States of America. So this is a total and absolute disaster. This is a cataclysm, and of course it's been engineered by the same financial elites that engineered and orchestrated the crisis in 2008 and 2009 to transfer wealth from you, because this is all a part of the Ponzi scheme. Again, people like Bernie Madoff, folks, were just a scapegoat compared to the banking elitists that really raped and robbed you in 2008 and 2009. History doesn't always repeat itself, but it does rhyme.
The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us in Message to the Black Man in a title chapter called America is Fallen, Her Doom is Sealed. He says, I compare the fall of America with the fall of ancient Babylon. Her wickedness, her sins, is the same as history shows of ancient Babylon. Babylon is suddenly fallen, and the destroyed howl for her. Take balm for her pains. If so, she may be healed. Jeremiah 51:81. What were the sins of ancient Babylon? according to history, she was rich. She was proud, and her riches increased her corruption. She had every merchandise that the nations wanted or demanded. Her ships carried her merchandise to the ports of every nation. She was a drunkard. Wine and strong drinks were in her daily practice. She was filled with adultery and murder, right? She persecuted and killed the people of God. She killed the saints and the prophets of Allah. Hate and filthiness, gambling, sport of every evil, as you practice in America, were practiced in Babylon. Only America is modern and much worse. Ancient Babylon was destroyed by her neighboring nations. The economic embargo that will take place on America will cripple her nation. It will cripple her economy that is already dying. It's coming. She will be embargoed from the same nations that she put sanctions on. As thou hast done, America, so shall it be done unto thee. It's in the works now. Nothing will come in and nothing will go out. God is going to bring her to her knees. And then everybody will have to say, there's a God on the scene, and this God on the scene is worthy of being praised. Because no nation, no combination of nations could have done this. God is the author. He's the geostrategist that is bringing about all of these things that you see happening. And it should be beautiful in the eyesight of those of you who are awake to the truth. The white man and his world is crashing and burning, and this is putting them in a position of war. But I want you to see, let's go a little further. Listen closely to this clip.
So what we're going to see as a result of this oil lower for longer, you know, oil below $30 a barrel and declining even more rapidly overnight, with Iran now putting more supply to the market and the Saudis and OPEC literally disintegrating in front of our very eyes because the entire supply-demand mechanism that they created has been obviously totally artificial from the get-go. This will lead to major companies like Glencore going out of business in the not-too-distant future, which will pose systemic risk to the entire economic system, and that will later result in smaller and medium-sized businesses also going out of business, and a massive shock hitting Wall Street. And guess who loaned all these commodity sector companies, all these oil companies, and all these others, the giant lump sum monies that now they can't pay back? The too big to fail banks. The banks like JP Morgan Chase and Bankrupt of America and Warren Buffett's Wells Fargo. Another bailout company that Warren Buffett, the Oracle of Omaha, was glad to accept. So this is creating another systemic event in our economic and financial system that might mimic what we saw in 2008 or 2009, and in my opinion, could potentially be far worse. Now, this does not mean that companies like Glencore declare bankruptcy tomorrow. Okay, they can draw this out longer. There can be another quantitative easing campaign. There can be another bailout. In fact, maybe this time it'll just be a bailout for a new sector in the commodity sector. They'll just bail out all the oil companies. ExxonMobil, Chevron, Glencore, anybody in this space will just get more multi-trillion dollar bailouts because this is capitalism at its finest, folks. This is how the system works. They only bail out the top 0.001%. Not you, not your family, not the little guy, not the 99%, but the 1% elites that own 95 friggin' percent of the wealth. That's how all this works. But there is a systemic risk present in the system today. We could very likely see a black swan event next week or the week after that. It could be in a matter of days because this is all very real. If oil stays longer, lower for longer, this puts more and more pressure on the balance sheets of not just large companies like Glencore, but medium and small-sized businesses that, by the way, have taken out billions, if not trillions, of dollars worth of loans from the too-big-to-fail bankrupt banks that we already bailed out a couple of years ago. So the Federal Reserve is going to have to make a decision, this criminal federal Ponzi scheme reserve system owned by families that somehow are out of the spotlight, like the Rothschilds, even though they have an estimated multi-trillion dollar net worth. Isn't it interesting that they're not on the top of Fortune magazine? It's for a friggin' reason, folks. They might just decide to orchestrate another specific bailout to the commodity space or to the oil space or to these large companies that need it. Again, because this is how capitalism in America works. There is no capitalism. There is only crony capitalism. There is only bailouts. There's only kings and queens and oligarchs. They play by a special set of rules, and you don't. You suffer, they don't. The little guy goes out of business, they don't. You declare bankruptcy, foreclosure, short sale, they don't. You lose everything, they don't. They gain everything, because that's how the system works. Again, it's an upside-down pyramid scheme in their favor.
You see how they are complaining now over the situation at hand, but they never complained about these things when they were making money, when they were prospering off the system. And now they are diming out everybody. It's just like you get mad when you're on the basketball court. You played your games and you lose and you get mad and you take the ball and say, I'm going home. Everybody's still standing on the court. This is what you see the white man is doing. He's telling on his brother because he's mad that his brother stole more than he did. He's mad that his brother got in a better position than he did. And so they're diming each other out. This is what the Lord of the world magnificently does. He exposes them to view so that you can see the devil as he really is. You can see the inner working of him. Messenger Muhammad teaches us that the devil keeps us away from his social equality because he doesn't want us to see just how wicked and filthy and corrupt he is in all of his daily activities. Right? And for you to be able to get up into the halls of power, that means that you have degenerated into one of them, to be as corrupt, as deceitful. Because when the devil makes you over, he makes you over seven times worse than himself at times. But it won't stop the bum rush, because God is after these people. I want to go now to Mr. I'm going to be going back and forth from different clips from Mr. Pinto and Mr. Kirby. But I want to play Mr. Kirby. I want you to pay close attention. This interview was given last night or night before, no, about two nights ago, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. But I want you to pay close attention to Mr. Kirby and what he's saying here. And I know the time is like 38 minutes or something like that. Brothers and sisters, if I can just have a little bit more of your time, if need be, I would greatly appreciate it. Because these clips are so important that you need to hear. And just hearing a few of them out of place will still not yet get you everything that you need. I want you to listen to the situation at hand so that you can understand exactly what's going on in this system, what they see coming, and how it pertains to prophecy and scripture. Okay? We're going to go to this one real quick.
Yeah, I got to tell you that I'm reading the papers last weekend, that Davos was in last week, and I was shocked to see USA Today in the money section say that, let me get the title right, I'm just looking at it here, that the CEOs are worried over the global economy. Maybe they finally started listening to you.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I mean, that's unusual for Davos. Usually these people always get it wrong. I listen to all of the big bankers, you know, James Gorman and all these big bankers, and they're always talking about how great the economy is and trying to talk it up. We're in a huge problem here. You have to be either adult or a liar to maintain that this is just a normal correction. Look what's going on around the globe. Commodity prices are at a 15-year low. The Russell 2000 is in a bear market. The Dow Jones transportation averages are in a bear market. Bear market means they're down at least 20% from the high. 50% of the S&P 500 is down more than 20%. China is down 45% since June of last year. Japan is in a bear market. Europe is in a bear market. This can't be normal. This is a very serious correction. It has just begun, and I'll tell you why. In normal recessions, and this is not going to be a normal recession, it's coming from China, it's metastasizing across the globe, slow growth, anemic growth around the planet. Asset prices in the United States have grown to a level that can no longer be supported by incomes. debt levels in the United States have grown so high, they can no longer be supported by incomes. That is the reason why this recession is going to be especially brutal. But let me tell you why it's going to be worse than 2008, Greg. Let me expound on my comments that I made earlier last week to the major media houses, the financial media gurus that are out there. In prior recessions, the Federal Reserve was allowed to lower the borrowing costs significantly, dramatically. So, for instance, in 2008, the Fed funds rate, that interbank lending rate, was 5.25%. Today, it's between 0.25 and 0.5. The Fed is unable to reduce borrowing costs to the consumer. All they can do is take back their measly 25 basis point rate hike that they did in December. So there's no debt service relief coming from the Federal Reserve. That's number one. Number two, a normal function of recessions is a surge in the deficit. We saw this in the Great Recession. Deficits skyrocketed from about $200 billion a year to $1.5 trillion a year. This time, if they skyrocket again, and as I said, they're a normal function of transfer payments booming during recessions, who's going to buy that treasury debt? There's no more QE. China is a huge seller. Japan is a huge seller. So interest rates are going to rise because the sovereigns are insolvent. It's not the banks that are insolvent anymore, although that's still the case to a great degree. They increased their capital from 3% to 6%. Big deal. So if 6% of the value of their assets go down, they're insolvent. So banks are slightly better off. But central banks are insolvent and sovereign governments are insolvent. That's why this is no normal recession.
You see, everything is breaking up. And he said something that was very, very interesting that you may have overlooked. He says, China is selling, and Japan is selling. What's interesting about those two? First of all, they're supposed to be in opposition geopolitically in Asia. Secondly, they are Asian nations. And thirdly, and one of the most important things is to consider this. China is the largest creditor to America. Japan is the second largest creditor to America. And if the two largest creditors to America are selling billions and hundreds of billions of dollars of American debt, how in the hell can she can maintain her sway, her position? It is the Asiatic nations who are the one laying her low. You remember when Elijah Muhammad told you that? You see it now? Whether they want to or not, the hand of time is forcing events to take place to vindicate the word of God. Crash. Collapse and war, the gates of hell have been opened. Brothers and sisters, we're going to, like I said, I'm going to jump over a few clips because I want to go down to Mr. Kirby. And that's the one I want to go to. Listen to what he says here. This is an 8-minute clip. This is why I need to go to this one more so than any of the other ones. I want you to listen to this 8-minute clip, and then we'll go back to the shorter clips from Kirby and Pinto. All right, these are two separate interviews, but I want you to listen closely.
So I'm sure you're familiar with this Hugo Salinas Price article. $1 trillion worth of bonds magically turn into cash. And just for people who aren't familiar with this, I'm going to just bring people up to speed real quickly. Mr. Price quantifies in this article, Rob, that $1 trillion in international reserves have vanished, essentially. And Price says...
Now stop that on purpose. I'm going to replay that. Remember what we just heard from Mr. Pinto, that China is selling and Japan is selling. Now, Mr. Kirby had told us that in less than a short span of a month or two, over $1 trillion in U.S. reserves or U.S. treasuries or U.S. assets were sold on the market, which should have caused a spiraling effect on the American economy. But Mr. Kirby is going to go and tell you what's taking place and why it hasn't done that so far and what to expect in the coming weeks. But Mr. Kirby says no later than 3 or 4 months. But I want you to pay close. This is 8 minutes, and listen closely to what this devil is saying to you now.
All right, we'll go. Here we are. All right. Well, they're blocking me. They're blocking me from playing it again. Hold on 1 second, brothers and sisters. This is how this devil rolls. Okay, here we go. Let's see if they'll do it now.
So I'm sure you're familiar with this Hugo Salinas Price article, $1 trillion worth of bonds magically turn into cash. And just for people who aren't familiar with this, I'm going to just bring people up to speed real quickly. Mr. Price quantifies in this article, Rob, that $1 trillion in international reserves have vanished, essentially. And Price says, it would be much easier to stop the flow of water over Niagara Falls than to halt the contraction in international reserves. World liquidation has set in. The piper must be paid. Growth is gone. This will be the story in the epic year 2016. And he says, here's the trillion-dollar question. What entity or entities have purchased for cash, the $1 trillion worth of government bonds that the central banks of the world have sold off in the course of the past 17 months? This is a big story, and I think that's why your name was coming up, because you have fingered the Exchange Stabilization Fund. You've named it by name many times, and you and I have talked about that in the past. What do you think is going on here?
Yeah, I actually dialogued with Mr. Price on this, because he had posed a question to a group of people in the writing community as to what our take was on close to $1 trillion worth of U.S. Reserves disappearing. And I thought it through, and I responded to him. The only thing that even remotely makes sense, given the fact that we've seen a $1 trillion liquidation and interest rates have gone down, not up, tells me that some entity absolutely did purchase the bonds that the likes of China have been liquidating. And in my books anyway, the liquidation is so profound, given that the 10-year bonds, if anything, have rallied, as this liquidation has occurred. I mean, the net of it, we've got 10-year U.S. bond rates right now around 205, where we were yesterday anyway. I haven't seen it today. But in the face of all that liquidation, you would have expected normally there would have been a huge sell-off in the bonds. And it's also not consistent with there being a strong dollar. And we know the dollar has been very strong and has been appreciating over the past year and a bit, the same time frame that there's been this horrific dump in U.S. reserves. So let's just say that the what's empirically happening isn't consistent with the narrative of a strong dollar. And so that makes should be making people ask some very poignant questions, at least so far as I'm concerned. And then you've got to ask yourself, who is it that's buying this stuff up? We know the big banks know. We know the likes of Morgan Bank, Morgan Stanley, Citibank, and Goldman Sachs, who run the U.S. bond market. They certainly know who's bought all those bonds, because they get bought from them, because they basically clear all the U.S. And any macro movement in U.S. bonds necessarily flows through those big clearing banks in the United States. So, those banks know who's doing the buying, it's so clear and it's so profound without saying the name of who's buying. To me, it's the equivalent of saying, think of an animal that's gray, has a trunk, a tail, and big floppy ears, and weighs a couple tons. And do note that I never said the word elephant. So what has factually occurred in the U.S. securities market tells me that the Exchange Stabilization Fund, with their untold riches that are all off book, has been purchasing those bonds, because the Exchange Stabilization Fund, for a review for the listeners, was created in 1934 by an act of Congress. And the way it was created and seeded was as follows. Gold was confiscated from American citizens at a set price back in 1934. I believe the price was roughly $20 that it was confiscated from American citizens. And 6 months after the gold was harvested from the American citizens, it was revalued up to whatever, 30 some odd dollars.
Yeah, 35, I believe.
That's right. And that created a windfall profit in 1934 dollars of $3 billion. That $3 billion was used as the seed money for the Exchange Stabilization Fund at its creation. The mission statement of the Exchange Stabilization Fund is to maintain the integrity of the U.S. dollar as a trade currency. And also within that mandate, it's stated that the Exchange Stabilization Fund is subject to no oversight other than, I think, directly to the president. It's operated at the discretion of the Secretary of the Treasury, and it is not subject to any domestic or international U.S. law, and and it produces no financials. So this entity has been growing in the weeds. Like $3 billion was a lot of money back in 1934. And if you just use simple compounding, just a simple compound $3 billion from 1934, you've got like 80 years worth of compounding. They don't pay any tax because they don't produce financials. And they're engaged in everything from drugs, arms, murder for hire, regime change. These guys operate at their own discretion. And anyway, I reckon the dark off book worth in the Exchange Stabilization Fund it amounts to trillions, if not tens of trillions of dollars in today's dollars. So anyway, that just speaks to the notion that there are off-book dollars in the U.S. Treasury, likely an amount as big or maybe bigger than the declared or acknowledged public debt. So they have the firepower. And it's these dark dollars that are being used to soak up the U.S. securities that are being liquidated. And my belief and understanding is that if you buy U.S. government securities with dark dollars that technically, for all intent and purpose, don't exist or aren't acknowledged to exist, you can't then turn around and put those treasuries in showing as official reserves because they're dark. And this explains to me why we can have foreigners dumping U.S. government securities, and yet, not only do they get sopped up and picked up, but they seem to disappear into a black hole. And that's because I believe that they're in the accounts now of the Exchange Stabilization Fund.
Now, what's significant about this stuff here, 1934? Well, we know that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was taught by God for 3.5 years. 1934 is when he really went to work on his mission. The devil knows this. They're not foolish. And they went because remember that the messenger was supposed to expose the system of this beast. And so the devil went and made him a black market, a black government that you couldn't see the inner workings of, to try to offset the time and God. And now we're seeing the ramifications of that thing that they did in 34 when the messenger went out building a nation, now blowing back on America and the entire Anglo world. Do you see how all of these numbers, 30, 33, 29, all of these things are not just put out there for you to just ignore? 65, 66, 68, 55, 71. All of these numbers have significance to them. And now we're looking at, when we calculate from one point to the next, we can see the blowback effect of this. Trillions, they're not saying this on CNBC. They're not saying this in Fox News or Fix News. that China is dumping debt. And not only is China dumping debt, Japan is dumping. And remember, if you go back to the Hiram 1555 law and the Star and Crescent Report, I have been saying that for since the show's inception, especially when it comes to Japan. Japan, even if they wanted to maintain, they would have to dump America's debt or sink. And they've been doing it under cover as not to let the people know so that there wouldn't be a major, major stampede out and they lose all of their assets. So it goes back to what the messenger said. They have focused their guns all over Asia on America to lay this one low. They're not going to give her time to go somewhere else and live. They're going to lay her low. And they are destroying her military might by destroying her economic prowess. Remember what he said. He said this right here. World liquidation has begun. Now let's go to the dictionary. Liquidation is from the root word liquidate. According to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, the word liquidate or liquidation means to sell, especially to pay off debt. To pay all the money owed for a debt. To destroy something or kill someone. It is the Asiatic nations who are laying her low. We cannot say that enough, right? Now, he also said this. It would be easier to stop the flow of water in Niagara Falls than to stop the asset liquidation that's going on. Now, you know that's something. That means that other nations have taken note and they're dropping it. And this is why America is redeploying to Libya. This is why America is redeploying to Iraq, to all of the nations around in the Middle East and North Africa and in Ukraine and Georgia and all of it. She can't bring her soldiers home because she has nothing for them to do. And the economy is imploding. And Muhammad says she is faced with the worst problem she has ever had. That is unemployment for her armed forces. They have been trained to do war. And they come back here and lose their homes, lose their cars, lose their families. What Muhammad says, this means the war's in at home. Right? You're starting to be clear now, right? You're laughing, right? You're smiling. You know Elijah Muhammad is writing exactly. All praise is due to Allah for the honorable Elijah Muhammad. Now, let's go a little bit further. Let's play these short clips.
So let's just say if the world ever became aware or acknowledged or if it was ever admitted the riches that are housed in the dark entity called the Exchange Stabilization Fund, I think it would have a profound effect negatively on the U.S. dollar. And this is one of the most closely guarded secrets, that America has. Probably way, way more closely guarded than the lack of gold they possess at Fort Knox, and probably much more closely guarded than all their nuclear secrets as well. So that's what I believe is going on, and I had this discussion with Mr. Price, and to me that is the only fit in terms of explaining how we've seen a dramatic drop in U.S. Dollar reserves because foreigners have been liquidating. We know China's been liquidating, and we know other countries have been liquidating, and yet. Yet, in the face of these foreigners dumping U.S. government securities, they continue to the long end of the U.S. Treasuries have rallied, and they certainly haven't sold off. And that's what you'd expect to happen if you had foreigners dumping somewhere in the tune of $1 trillion worth of U.S. government securities. You'd expect the bond market to be a mess. The dollar should be on its back, weak. But instead, the dollar remains looking strong because we have this dark entity that is doing exactly what it was set up to do, protect the integrity of the U.S. dollar and to keep the faith in the fiat U.S. dollar even as foreigners are pitching it. So,
you see, foreigners are dumping these assets, but you don't hear anything about it. But the charade can only go on so far. And then she's going to reach a point where you'll see it, you'll feel it, you'll smell it, you'll hear it. Her collapse is underway. It's not coming. It's ongoing now. We're going to get a few more clips real quick. I know the time is of the essence, but brothers and sisters, bear with me, please, because you have to hear these things yourself from the devil to actually get an understanding of just how terrified they are and just how deep the corruption goes down the rabbit hole. We'll go to the next clip here.
I recently posted a powerful video about the Exchange Stabilization Fund. The name of that video is What I've Been Afraid to Blog About, and it comes from marketskeptics.com. I want to read something to you here in a second, but circling back to what Hugo had written in his piece, I may have done a poor job of setting that up for the audience so that they could quantify that $1 trillion. So let me just share this with folks. Price writes, "The data for Friday, January 8th, 2016 is shocking. As expected, total international reserves held by central banks, excluding gold, expressed in U.S. dollars, amounts to $11.032 trillion as of that date, January 8th, 2016. The decrease in reserves thus amounts to precisely $1 trillion as of January 8th. This gigantic fall of 8.31% of the maximum amount of reserves, $12.032 trillion, recorded on August 1st, 2014, took place over the course of only 17 months, whereas the growth of reserves to its maximum figure took 70 years, roughly since the end of World War II. And Price writes, $1 trillion worth of government bonds has disappeared from the books of the world's central bankers, sold by them for cash. Who did the buying? On what balance sheets did the acquired $1 trillion of bonds now rest? We'll never know, Rob. And he concludes, are the parties to these gigantic transactions to remain unknown? And what happens to the world's confidence in its financial system when $1 trillion worth of bonds and counting just magically turns into cash? And I think what you're saying is so darn important, Rob, because where Hugo has left the door open with the question, who bought them, you're providing the answer. It's the Exchange Stabilization Fund. Now, I want to just read this from Marketing Skeptics before I turn it back to you. And what's written here about the ESF is that it is impossible to understand the world today without knowing what the ESF is and what it has been doing. Officially in charge of defending the dollar, the ESF is the government agency which controls the New York Fed, runs the CIA's black budget, and is the architect of the world's monetary system, IMF, World Bank, etc. ESF financing through the OSS and then the CIA built up the worldwide propaganda network which has so badly distorted history today. It has been directly involved in virtually every major U.S. fraud scandal since its creation in 1934. The London Gold Pool, the Kennedy assassination, Iran-Contra, CIA drug trafficking, and worse. Pretty powerful statements here, written here at marketskeptics.com, but it's exactly what you're saying, and I just wanted to back you up with some quantifiables there, Rob.
You see, this thing is imploding, black man and black woman, and you don't realize the depths of what's going on, and see, the corruption, the evil, the greed, the low-down, dirty, unbelievable wickedness of the system is on display for you to see. And yet you still believe that if you hold on to this white man in some way, somehow, that you will be blessed, that you will come out of this thing unscathed. There's one way out. That way out is the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You can accept it. You can reject it. It's on you. But I just want to acquaint you with the things that are going on. Listen to this. This is 4 minutes, so we got 10 minutes. I'm going to ask you for about 10 or 15 more minutes of your time because I want to go back to Mr. Pinto, and I want you to pay close attention to this.
Do you think that they're going to actually come out in a meeting in the not-so-distant future and say—
Right there is something that I want to get to you, but let's just play this because you'll get it in just a second. You'll get it. Everything, believe me, everything is falling.
Do you think that they're going to actually come out in a meeting in the not so distant future and say, yeah, that quarter point rate hike, we're going to take that back?
Yes, I do. So I think there's a pause. Maybe they go one more time in March. I mean, the clueless, feckless morons that run our central bank are looking at the U6 unemployment rate and worried about some hyperinflation coming from too many people working and producing, as laughable as that is. So they might pause in March. They might go one more time. But let me tell you something. You look around, if you look at commodity prices, equity prices, junk bond spreads, if you look at actual data that coming out, we're in a magnificent manufacturing recession across the globe. The Atlanta Fed model has growth in Q4 at 0.7%. And this quarter doesn't look any better. The recent Philly Fed numbers, the industrial production, everything is down. Everything is slowing dramatically. And yet I actually get aggravated because I get so angry with Wall Street. No wonder why the average individual investor hates Wall Street. It's an odious institution. How many times have I turned on the TV or read somewhere that, you know, any moment the plunge in oil prices is going to boost consumption? I mean, it hasn't happened yet. See, oil prices are a symptom of a global recession. You know, there's 19 commodities in the Reuters Jeffrey CRB index. They're all plunging. They're lower than they were in March of 2009. They're back to where they were in 2000. Greg, it's not just there's a huge supply glut of oil. There's a supply glut of soybeans and tin and iron ore and everything. It's about plunging demand. I'm part of Wall Street, but they really do a disservice to the average investor.
Well, with all these commodities plunging, as you just said, you know, 19 out of 19 on that index you just named is plunging. And oil, I mean, I heard there's $500 billion to a trillion loaned out to oil in the last 30 months.
They're going
to
be default.
Oil. What's going to happen with the bankruptcies?
Bankruptcies and defaults in the oil patch, in America, you know, in the shale patch, fracking industry. What about China, though? What are the defaults that are going to be in China? I mean, the Chinese government is really in a big predicament over there. You know, another reason why I hate Wall Street. You know, remember back in the days, a few years ago, where it was the BRICS, Brazil, Russia, India, and China, and this was the growth engine of the world. So China is responsible for 33% of all global growth. If you look at the multiplier effect they've had on emerging markets, that goes to 50%. And about 50% of U.S. multinational corporations sell their wares, their services and goods to overseas companies. And now I'm being told, if I listen to the Wall Street Carnival barkers, that, oh, China is irrelevant. How did we go from BRICS, you know, the BRIC countries being the cornerstone of economic growth, to being irrelevant? But there's going to be a big problem in China. There's huge problems in Japan. And I even heard today, here's another thing that just gets me fired up. So, you know, the feckless central bankers that run our world, they're looking to increase the amount of QE, even though it doesn't work. I was listening to Mario Draghi last week. He comes on and he says, we're going to actually look to do something. He wouldn't say what it was, but we're going to do something because we have the tools. The only tool a central banker has is to destroy a currency's purchasing power. But he has the tools in March to lower the value of the euro, as if it wasn't crashing fast enough, and the purchasing power of the citizens of Europe wasn't crashing enough. Listen, their balance sheet's already going to 4 trillion euros. They're printing 60 trillion euros every month. And they've expanded that to the middle of 2017, and they're going to do more, even though more isn't working? I don't get this, Greg, but you're right. There's going to be mass defaults, massive write-downs in the oil patch sector, massive write-downs in junk bond land, and there's an entire global synchronized bond bubble that's going to crash the next time deficits rise. It is not, I'm sorry, a normal recession.
And see, the problems that China and Japan are having is forcing them. They may not want to at this moment, but it is forcing them to decouple their currency and their economies from the dollar. It's forcing them to call America's debt to the people of China and Japan live. You got to pay us now, or we're going to put you on Front Street, and the people will see that the emperor has no clothes. And then it's bye-bye, America, bye-bye, Britain, bye-bye, Europe. Isn't that something? He said that Mario Draghi, the central bank chief of Europe, is printing $60 trillion, I mean euros, and a euro is like a dollar and 50, 40 something, I believe, per dollar. So he's printing 60 some trillion a month to try to prop up the European Union. Do you see and with the Fed printing trillions of dollars, do you not see the desperation? Do you not see the time of the Western or white world as a power, as a influence, as a viable source of influence on the other nations? Don't you see that time is up? And China and the Asian nations have been buying gold and silver and tangible and hard assets to insulate them from the time of the fall of the West. Isn't that something? 310, I'm going to get you in a second. I got three short clips. One is 1 minute. One is 2 minutes. Two minutes. And one is 49 seconds. Four clips. Listen closely to this because we're coming to the end, and I will come back to you. Keep your hand up, brother. Listen to this, 1 minute and 22 seconds.
You had said at one point that the biggest bubble is in central, exactly what you said. The
central bank confidence.
Yeah, biggest bubble is central bank confidence. Is that bubble about to break, and when will that bubble break?
It's breaking. It's breaking. You know, Mario Draghi came out last week and said, guess what? We are going to do more quantitative easing. 60 billion euros a month isn't enough. A 4 trillion euro ECB balance sheet isn't enough. Negative deposit rates aren't enough. We're going to do more. But it's ineffectual. It's fallow. It's empty. It's vapid. You can't take borrowing costs below zero for the consumer unless you outlaw physical currency, which they haven't done yet. So you're not going to get any debt service relief. You take banks' assets, that's what quantitative easing is. You print up digital currency and you take their bank their assets. But guess what? Assets have grown so far detached from economic fundamentals that even the banks would rather hold excess reserves than go out and buy more treasuries or buy more stock. So it's pushing on a string, as they say. We are a debt-disabled world, and more QE is ineffectual, and you lose your confidence completely in central banks. And that's why this recession and sell-off isn't your garden variety.
He's warning you of the situation. And I said 60 trillion, I meant 60 billion, which is like 80 or 90 billion dollars a month that he's printing up to try to preserve the European Union. And they're doing it, that's just like the crack smoker smoking more crack, saying that if he smoked this last little bit of crack, he won't have to smoke crack no more. And each time he smokes more crack and more crack. And he still believes that he still has the same money that he had in his living room yesterday. That's delusional. You understand? So let's go to the next clip. Give me a chance to get to it. Here it is. This is a 2 minute clip.
You know, the guys on CNBC and Fox Business are telling us it's a bottom. It's a bottom. Where is the bottom?
I'll tell you, if you look at, I look at market cap, I look at, you know, price to sales, market cap to GDP, reported earnings, trailing reporting earnings, not future earnings on operating level. So I think the first stop is 1500 on the S&P 500. And then I think probably even 1300. I have to see the reaction from the Federal Reserve. Janet Yellen will, I can't promise you and guarantee you anything, but I'm 100% convinced that Janet Yellen will reverse monetary policy sometime in 2016. It'll probably come in March to June timeframe. I want to see how much she's able to weaken the U.S. dollar, and that'll tell me when to cover some of my shorts. First stop, 1500, then 1300. We'll see where we go from there.